Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We'll end our reading there at verse 11, and we know that the Lord will bless to our hearts the public reading of his own precious word. Just as we come to the word of God, we will again look to the Lord, that the Lord will be pleased to reveal himself through the word. Our loving Father, as we come again into thy presence, we know that we had sold ourselves for naught. We had gone after vain things, but how we praise thee for the grace, the saving grace that has brought us to the fountain of life. And we do with joy draw water from the well of salvation. There is an endless, a plentiful supply. Lord, thou didst say that thou wast the water of life, and those that drink of thee, that living water, they will never thirst again. And we come with thirsty souls. We come with deep longings in our hearts that we might feed upon thee. O Lord, break to us the bread of life, and bless our waiting souls, we pray. And grant our Father that none in this meeting house will despise the Savior. None will reject the offer of gospel mercy, and all will be wise and making the Lord their choice. Be with us now and bless us here. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will turn to the passage that we read together in Colossians chapter 3. And in the final words of verse 11, we have the apostle saying, Christ is all. Christ is all. As far as Paul was concerned, Christ was everything. There were those in Colossae who played up national entities. They highlighted cultural and social differences. But Paul emphasized, irrespective of whether a person was a Jew or Gentile by birth, irrespective of whether a person was a slave or a free man, previously religious or irreligious, Christ is all to those who are truly His. There are many across this world tonight to whom the Son of God is nothing. He is as that stone which the builders reject. Some take the Lord's lovely name and use it profanely. For many, the Lord is rarely in their thoughts. To multitudes, Jesus Christ is as a root out of a dry ground, having no form nor comeliness. There is no beauty in Him that the people should desire Him. But to those who believe, the Lord is precious, the chiefest among 10,000. He is everything to our hearts. These three words are the essence of Bible Christianity. Christ is all. This truth, how far does your heart go along with it? Is the Lord everything to you? You're all in all. We will explore our text looking at it from three angles. First of all, asking the question, why Christ is all? Who can claim to be all? Only the one in whom all fullness dwells. And in chapter 1 of Colossians and verse 19, we read, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Notice similar words in chapter 2 and verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This word fullness, it means the sum total of all that God is in all of His being and attributes. So in Christ there dwells all that God is, for Christ is God of very God. In verse 15 of chapter 1, here we read of the Lord, who is the image of the invisible God. Now the word image is the root from which we get our English word icon. It means a precise copy, an exact reproduction. Jesus Christ is the exact revelation of God. The Lord could say, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. There in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the reference is to the Lord Jesus being the brightness of His glory, the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of His person. The phrase, the express image, conveys the print left by a seal on the wax. That print of the seal on the wax is exact, and Jesus Christ exactly mirrors God because in very essence, He is God. He is all that God is. He is our Emmanuel, God with us, God manifest in flesh. Jesus Christ eternally is, ever was, and forever will be, in all respects God, in all His being and attributes. In Christ there is fullness of wisdom, fullness of love and power, fullness of grace, fullness of patience and forbearance, fullness of all that you and I need for now and for all eternity. Charles Wesley wrote many lovely hymns, and in one of those he said, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in Thee I find." Oh, you can never exhaust all the fullness that is in Jesus Christ. There's more than enough in Him to meet you at the very point of your need. You can visualize the missionary in Brazil going down to the banks of the mighty Amazon and dipping in his tiny jar. The fullness of the river fills it, but the missionary's jar can never contain all the water of the Amazon. Nor can you contain the fullness of deity, but you are complete in Him. Look at the words of chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 10. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. The thought is, you are filled full in Him. All spiritual blessings are ours in Jesus Christ. Paul is able to say, Christ is all, for He is God, God of very God. So why Christ is all? But let us consider another question. How Christ is all? All in salvation. The Lord was the sum and substance of Paul's preaching. Look at chapter 1 and verses 28 and 9. He's speaking in verse 27. Of Christ in you, the hope, the guarantee of glory. And then in the same breath, he goes on to say, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. These words are indicating to us that the apostle, he lived and he labored to preach Christ. Christ and Him crucified. That is the message for Jew and Gentile sinners. Souls are born again, not of blood, not of the family line, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All must come to God through Jesus Christ. His righteousness is the only robe which can cover our spiritual destitution. His blood is the only fountain in which our hearts black with sin can be washed whiter than the snow. His name is the only shibboleth at the gate of heaven. Our Christ is all in salvation. He's the mighty to save. And how many in our service this evening can say of Him, my Savior, my Lord? How many can say, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon Christ's life, upon His death, I stake my whole eternity? If your eternity is depending on someone else or something else other than Christ and His finished work, you're lost. You're perishing. Christ is all in salvation. He is all in sanctification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 30, speaking of the Lord, He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Here in Colossians chapter 3, Paul is arguing for the setting apart of the Christian's life unto God. Notice in verse 9, he speaks about having put off the old man with his deeds. And then in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The verb translated renewed has the idea in it of being constantly renewed. And in the work of sanctification, the Christian is being constantly renewed in the divine image. Oh, this ought to be our abiding desire, to become more like the Lord, our lives bearing the stamp of His image. The Lord sends His Spirit into our hearts as a refiner's fire, to burn up our dross, to cause our lives to glow with His likeness. This is the Lord's purpose in saving us, to conform us to His own image, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like Him. Christ is all in salvation. He is all in sanctification. He is also all in service. We think of the occasion when Peter and the other disciples fished through the night. That was the appropriate time to go fishing in Israel. Not during the daylight hours, but in the darkness of the night. But Peter and the rest, though they fished through the hours of the night, they caught nothing. They returned to shore with an empty net. It was a fruitless exercise. And in John chapter 21 and verse 5, the Lord came to them and He said, "Children, have ye any meat? Have you any fish?" And they had to answer Him, saying, "No." we have nothing. And then in verse 6, the Lord said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And remember now, it's daylight. It's the most unfavorable time for fishing in the Middle East. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. The Lord took command of the vessel. And what a transformation. And this is a vivid illustration of the reality of John chapter 15 and verse 5. Without me, are severed from me, ye can do nothing. Jonathan and his armor bearer had a great victory over the Philistines. There were just the two of them. But Jonathan wrought with God. Saul, after that battle, he put the people under oath not to eat any food until he had struck a decisive blow of his own against the enemy. But Jonathan, unaware of his father's foolish law, he ate honey. And Saul, he said, Jonathan shall surely die. But the people reasoned with Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And here's what they said to Saul in the verse 45. They said to him concerning Jonathan, God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. Jonathan, in overcoming the enemy, the Philistines, he wrought with God. This was the secret of Jonathan's victory. Oh, let us not go in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. We must be workers together with God. Christ is all in service. And furthermore, he is all in the storms of life. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. We think of the experience of Paul, the great evangelist and missionary, the great herald of the cross. And he can write in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, he would have the believers in Corinth know these things. He says, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Troubles and trials abounded as the great apostle served the Son of God. The Reverend Henry Lythe, the composer of the noted hymn, Abide With Me, at the height of his usefulness, he was told that he had only a matter of weeks to live. His body was gripped by a fatal consumption. Henry Lythe went into his study and he wrote the beautiful words, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Christ is all to his people amid life's trials, its troubles, its sorrows, and its shadows. The Lord is as a brother born for adversity. He is not only the God of the hilltops, he is also the God of the valleys. And in the darkest valley, I need fear no ill, for the Lord my shepherd will be with me still. We are told in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for such an high priest, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we can also say that the Lord is all in the streets of glory. Like the altar in Solomon's temple, the Lord draws every eye in heaven in the glory. John can write in Revelation 5 and verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Note that the Lord in heaven is the one who is in the midst. In verse 12 of Revelation 5, we are taken in to the kingdom of heaven, and we hear the song of all the glorified, and they are singing with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Christ is all in heaven. Our gathering together will be unto him. We will bring our crowns and lay them all at the Savior's feet in the glory. For he is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. But thirdly and lastly, what are the implications? If Christ is all, then make him all in your affection. If Christ is all, if you are complete in him, then love him more than all. He is not loved at all. If he is not loved above all, it's said of the woman who anointed the feet of the Lord in the Pharisee's house, in Luke 7 and verse 47, she loved much. Oh, may we love him above all besides. May we be able to say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Make him all in your affection. Make him all in adversity. When everything around is discouraging, encourage yourself in him who is all. When your wants and losses are crushing, when all fails, rejoice in him who is your all. In Psalm 61 and verse 2, David was passing through deep waters. He was experiencing the rebellion of his son Absalom. And he says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord is our rock in life's storm. He's your strong tower into which you can run and find safety. And make Christ all in your ambitions. Do all to his glory. This was the Alpha and Omega of Paul's life, its beginning and end. We see in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21 that this was Paul's desire Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He lived to magnify the Lord. Daniel put his finger on the blot in the life of Belshazzar when in Daniel 5 and verse 23 he said, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" Oh, we must not live a misspent life. Do not miss the mark. Do all in your daily living to the glory of God. And make Christ all, not only in your affection, in your adversity, in your ambitions, make him all in your acceptance with God. Men and women, young people, are undone who face God, who go out into eternity without the Lord. There's nothing for the soul that despises Christ, that rejects him, but fiery indignation and judgment. Christ is all. Only his worthy merits, his blood shed so freely, can redeem your soul. He alone can heal all your soul's diseases. Flee to him. Do not wait until you're his and he is yours. But it is only those who have him have life. Those who do not have the Lord do not have life. Christ is all in your acceptance with God. The only hope that Jacob had of seeing Joseph's face, was by sending Benjamin, the son of the right hand. And it is only the son of the right hand, the Son of God, who can bring us from our sin to salvation, to eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, may you, if you're not a Christian, may you obey the gospel, believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And then you too will join others in saying, Christ is all. He is everything to me. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer. Our loving Father, we have to say with Asaph, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. O Lord, thou art all to be desired. We thank thee that thou art all fair. Thou art the chiefest among 10,000 to our believing souls. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us to make thee all in our affection, to make thee all in our adversity, to run to thee and find in thee our shelter, our strength. And we pray, Lord, that none will leave this service this evening setting at naught, trampling underfoot the finished work, the precious blood. We pray that all will be made wise to salvation and steer for the gospel harbor and find refuge under the blood of the Lamb and peace with God through the blood of the cross. Bless thy word to us all, and draw all our hearts and fix them upon thyself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.